John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come.
Good morning. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful that you're with us as we continue on in our series. So over the last couple of months, being new to this building, I've been trying to kind of figure it out, trying to explore, kind of discover new nooks and crannies, you know, every day. One of the things that is most odd about this building is the way that the light switches are sort of like a Rubik's Cube that you have to solve in order to get the lights to actually come on. I was reminded of that once again this morning. I came up, I was going to turn on the light in the kids' co-hallway, flipping switches, no light comes on because you have to go down to the other end of the corridor and make sure that those switches are in the proper configuration so that there would actually be light in the hallway. And so I found myself often kind of gingerly walking through dark rooms hoping that I don't just kill myself on something. Like there's nothing worse than walking briskly through a dark room, thinking you know the layout, all of a sudden to hit the side of a table corner, to have a bruise left on your thigh, you know, for a good month. I think that picture of me stumbling through dark rooms in the labyrinth that is the basement is a very kind of apt picture for how we often experience life in the world in which we live. Like we often know what it looks like to stumble around seemingly in the dark trying to figure out this thing called life. Like we stumble around in the darkness when it comes to understanding relationships, marriage, friendships. We're fumbling around trying to learn how to parent children well. We stumble and bumble as we try to navigate ourselves through this world, at times just trying to make the best educated guess we can. Like, that's often the experience that we have. And I think it's apt because what we come to discover in this passage today is that Jesus wants to meet the greatest needs of our lives. And he does that in saying, I am the light of the world. If we want to come to understand how to live life well, how to live in light of who God is, how to navigate through this world in which we live, we have to walk in the light of Jesus. He addresses the greatest needs that you and I have when he says, I am the light of the world. What we're going to see this morning is that Jesus is the light we need for our lives. Jesus is the light we need for our world. And so he starts this section in verse 12 with these words. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we're going to understand the significance, the lofty significance of Jesus' statement, his claim, I am the light of the world, we need to understand the backdrop on which that statement is made. This comes at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles was one of the great celebrations within the life of Israel. And the Feast of the Tabernacles was to commemorate their deliverance from Egypt and the wanderings throughout the wilderness, where God led them as a pillar, as a cloud by day and a pillar of light at night. There was this great lamp lighting that took place in the outer courts of the temple. It was so massive of a display that one author had said there wasn't a courtyard within all of Jerusalem which was not illuminated by the lights of those lamps. It was to commemorate that God had led them. And the Lord, Exodus 13, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Like, that's the backdrop upon which Jesus says, I am the light of the world. They've just been celebrating how God himself, in his glory, displayed himself as a great pillar of fire to lead them through the desert. And now Jesus steps in and says, I am the light of the world. He's making this extravagant claim about himself, and it wasn't lost on his hearers. That's why the Pharisees get absolutely outraged when they hear him say those things. They don't care that he's trying to help people. They don't care that he's trying to make people's lives better. What they get incensed about is that Jesus is claiming something extremely significant. Jesus is saying, I am God. You want to understand something of the glory of God, then you need to look no further than me. You want to understand God the Father's love and mercy and kindness, his patience, his love, his deliverance, his rescue. If you want to understand the Father, then you need to look no further than Jesus. He's making a staggering claim about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. The metaphor of light and darkness runs all throughout scriptures. In fact, it's a religious metaphor that's found all over our world. It's extremely common, and it's this picture of light being where God resides. It's a metaphor that's used to describe God's person. Darkness, because of its confusing kind of nature, where you can't see clearly, you don't know what's around you, it shows this picture of a disorientation, if you will, that can only be solved when the light comes. So that metaphor runs all throughout the scriptures. In fact, God uses it of himself. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or Psalm 36, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Jesus steps in and says all of those things, that all the ways that this metaphor of light has been used to help you understand the Father, you need to understand this. I am the light of the world. A staggering claim that he makes about himself. And he's not just saying something very vague and general, that there is this light that is illuminating all of the darkness of our world. No, he's saying something very specific, because he follows it up by telling us that whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So there's still darkness in the world. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the light of the world? What he's saying is the light of God, the light of Christ, is available to the entire world, to anyone who desires it, anyone who wants to follow Jesus, anyone who wants to walk in his light is able to do so. It's an invitation to all of humanity. I am the light of the world. This light is available to the whole world. And so in saying, I am the light of the world, Jesus is saying, without him, there is no light in this world. Without him, it's just darkness in our lives and in our world. He's telling us that we have this great need for him. If he is the one who brings light, if he is the one who indeed is the light, then we have this great need to live in a relationship with him. It's a reminder to us that one day God will do away with all darkness, and the earth will be filled and our lives will be filled fully and completely with his light. And so Revelation 22, verse 5, and night will be no more. They will need no lamp of sun, no lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. There is a coming day when our lives and our world will be full and complete in God's light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He can be that light in your life. Yes, because he is the light of the world, when we walk in his light, he exposes the sin of our heart. But that is a gracious thing for him to do, because it's like the physician giving you the diagnosis on the extreme early end of cancer so that it can be expunged, removed, that you could have a cure. It's that kind of diagnosis. Yes, sin is, it's painful to have that sin exposed, but because of God's mercy and his kindness, he not only exposes our sin, he doesn't leave us in this place where we're only aware of all the ways that we fall short, but rather he rescues us that we could walk in his light, that we could live in his light. You see, the light doesn't just expose sin. It changes everything about how we view our world. It changes everything about how we view ourselves. When we walk in the light of Christ, it will change the way that we understand the world in which we live. One author put it this way: the light doesn't merely bring about a degree of clarification by which human beings are raised to a higher level of knowledge or conduct. So he's not just this general light that brings about an illumination that you could learn more and know more and so therefore overcome the darkness. No, he goes on and says, but rather this light rescues them from the life-threatening forces of darkness. We need to be rescued, not just to have a light dimly shining in. We need to be rescued that we could live in Christ's light, that we could see ourselves truly. Like all throughout the scriptures, we see this picture of the human heart being deceitful, having no ability in and of ourselves to understand ourselves fully and completely. Why do we do the things that we do? What drives us? What motivates us? What compels us? Only when we walk in the light of Jesus can we understand ourselves fully and completely. Only when we walk in the light of Jesus are we going to be able to navigate the world in which we find ourselves. To have light shone on the path that we might know the direction we're to head and so that we could actually make some semblance of progress in our world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light we need for our lives and the light we need for our world. And so how will you respond? I mean, will you respond like the Pharisees? Look at verse 13. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Aha, we gotcha. They decide to go very religious. You need to have multiple witnesses to validate and verify your testimony, Jesus. So rather than hearing and understanding the significance of what he is saying, trying to understand what it means that he is the light of the world. They want to juke him and sidestep him by getting very religious. They miss Jesus because they're avoiding him. He says, you don't know where I came from and you don't know where I'm going, and so that's why you don't know myself or my Father. How are you trying to avoid Jesus? In what way have you tried to sidestep his leadership and his care in your life this week? What is it for you? I mean, I think no matter who you are, each and every one of us, not the person sitting next to you, the person sitting in your seat, needs to ask the question, how are you trying to avoid Jesus right now, this week? In what ways have you tried to sidestep his loving leadership in your life? You've tried to downplay the significance of his word. You've tried to go your own way, try to figure it out on your own rather than leaning and relying upon him. In what way are you trying to avoid Jesus in much the same way the Pharisees did? I mean, is Jesus who he claims? Is he the light of the world? And if he is, then what is the significance of that for our lives? What does it look like for us to live in light of that great reality? How are you trying to sidestep Jesus? I mean, do you want to understand your heart? What makes you tick? Do you want to understand the world in which we live? Jesus is making a staggering claim. Jesus is saying the only way you're going to be able to is if you live in the light of who I am. The only way that you'll be able to truly understand yourself, Jesus says, is if you live in the light. The only way that you'll be able to truly understand the world in which you live and navigate through it is to live in the light of Jesus. What drives you, what motivates you, what compels you, what pushes you forward? What are the forces at work under the surface? Like, if you want to understand what's at the heart of your heart, you have to live in the light of Jesus. If you want to make any progress in navigating through the trenches of this world, then you have to live in the light of Jesus. Carrie and I have had a lot of conversations over the last few months amongst ourselves, but also with friends as we've just been talking about what it just how difficult it is raising children at the stage of life that we find ourselves. Now, we once were in the seat that many of you reside, where the most difficult thing for us in a day was trying to figure out how to get our kids to eat something green. Something other than cookies, fruit snacks, trying to get our kids to take a nap. Like, you have no idea how many tear-filled conversations over the phone, Carrie's tears, not mine, where she is just like, Jason, you have to come home. This boy will not sleep, and one of us is going to get killed, and I'm bigger than him. The time that I walk into the door and through the door and I see a jump rope tying the two bedroom doors together so that he can't bust out once again. Like, those kinds of difficulties, we were there. It's hard. And when you're in it, when you're in that, you just like we didn't, you don't believe what people tell you. Like, there's going to come a day when this is going to be the easiest thing you've ever had to deal with in parenting. Like, it's going to get harder. It's going to get more real. And so we've been having these conversations. How do you navigate and help to raise children in the world in which we live? Where it's bigger and it's harder than you know, getting them to go to bed at a proper hour in the evening. In a world where sexting and 50 Shades of Grey is what we know, and there are hormones battling and raging within these little people, and they don't know what to do with them, how to make sense of life, how to understand who they are, how to fit in and yet still be able to stand out. Like, walking through those kinds of roads. I mean, the point of of any of that is only to say that the only way we're going to be able to help navigate through this world in which we find ourselves, Jesus says, is by walking in his light. You may not believe him. You may not buy it. I'd encourage you to continue on traveling through the Gospel of John as we head towards Easter and see if Jesus really is who he says he is. But you need to understand this. This is the claim that Jesus is making. If you want to understand yourself, if you want to understand the world in which we live, if you want to figure out how to navigate through this world, you have to live in the light of Jesus. Jesus is the light we need for our lives, and Jesus is the light we need for our world. And so how do you get the light of Jesus? How do you get this light so that you can have your life illumined in such a way that you can see yourself truly, that you could see your sin for what it is, that you could come to rest in this relationship with Jesus, that you could start to understand how to navigate and traverse your way through this world in which we live. How do you get the light of Jesus? Verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you want to understand how to get this light of Jesus, he says you have to follow him. You have to follow Jesus. Following Jesus isn't just merely tagging along. Just walking, you know, taking part in the just religious activities. Following Jesus is about knowing Jesus. It's about having a relationship with him. Having a depth of relationship that's shaping you and reshaping you from the inside out. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It means knowing him. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. It says in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Like, that's the essence of living in the light of Jesus. It's knowing him, having a relationship with him, having your life completely and totally informed by the light of Christ. Following Jesus is all about living in light of who he really is. Not just who I want him to be, but rather who he really is. He is the light of the world. It's about being so taken up by Jesus that you want to join your life with him. And so in some mysterious, mystical way, you're united with Christ, where your life is being totally informed by his person. Like the light of the reality of Jesus is so transforming and informing your heart that it's changing the way that you see everything. That's what it means to follow Jesus. You see, if you follow Jesus, and what we discover in this passage is you have Jesus. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you want to have the light of the world that I'm talking about, then you need to follow me. And if you follow me, then you will have me. That's what it means to follow Jesus, is to have Jesus, to live in such a way that you are being transformed day by day by his person, his work, the reality of who he is. He's the light that brings life. Like, he's the only one who promises to give us life and who can fulfill on that promise. Anyone who follows me will have the light that produces life. This comes up all throughout John's gospel. And in the very first chapter, we read this: in him, Jesus, was life. and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's this picture of walking in the light of Jesus. As you do that, then you get to experience life. He says in chapter 10 that he came to give us life and to give us life to the full, to give us abundant life, to give us abundant life here and abundant life in the future. That eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Like, he came to give us life, and that life comes to us only when we walk in the light of Jesus. There is no other way to get the life that Jesus has promised to give us. There's no other way than to walk in the light so that we can experience life in him. You want to experience mercy, love, real acceptance. You want to experience what it means to be a part of God's forever family. Then you have to walk in his light. You need Jesus. Jesus is the light that we need for our lives, and he's the light that we need for our world. If you want to make sense, if you want to make heads and tails of it, Jesus says you have to walk in his light. And so the invitation is to give your life to Jesus, to give yourself over to him. I mean, this verse, when we come to understand, when we see it through eyes of faith, it can be a life-changing reality. Jesus is the light of the world who brings life. I mean, that should be a life-changing reality for us. And so he's inviting us to give ourselves to him. How do we experience this life that he presents to us? How do we walk in his light? In chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says this: while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons and daughters of light. Become sons and daughters. Be a part of his family. Well, how do you do that? He explains a few verses before. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. If we want to experience this life-changing reality of walking in the light of Jesus, then we have to see the significance of his life, his death, and his resurrection. If we want to experience life, then we have to look to the cross. If you want to experience what it looks like to be a part of his forever family, as sons and daughters of light, to be a part of that kingdom community, then he says the only way that you can do that is by looking to him lifted up on that cross. We have to see Jesus as our rescuer. You see, too often I think we come to this phrase, I am the light of the world, and we think merely and only through the lens of Jesus as an example. He's the light of the world. He's giving us an example of how to live a moral, upright life. I mean, that's true. But if all we have is his example, then we're going to miss out and we're going to be crushed by it. You see, at the end of the day, we have to come to terms with the reality that we're never going to live up to his example. I'm never going to be merciful enough, compassionate enough, loving enough, kind enough, gentle enough. I'm never going to be enough. And if all I have when I read, I am the light of the world, is Jesus' example, then I'm doomed. But Jesus came to do something so much more for us. He came to show us, he came to rescue us, not to just show us how to live in the light, but to rescue us. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We need to be rescued, taken out of that domain of darkness and transplanted in to this new kingdom. This new kingdom of light. We need to trust Jesus, to trust him at our core, to see that not only is he who he claims, but he's worthy of giving my life to him, of trusting him with it all, every part of me, every decision that will come my way, trusting him with those. He's worthy of it. He is the light of the world. And once we've stepped into that kind of relationship with him, then we're being invited to walk in his light. In 1 John, John said it this way: "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We're being invited to continue to walk in his light. That as we walk in the light, he is going to graciously expose our sin. And yet he doesn't leave us in it, because he shows us that through Jesus we can find forgiveness. That when we repent, when we confess, when we turn from those things and we turn afresh to Christ, that we can be forgiven and renewed. That there is, walking in the light is what brings us fellowship with God, a friendship with him, a companionship with him, a sense of closeness. Walking in the light is what brings us that same kind of sense of companionship and friendship, fellowship with one another. The converse is also true. Like, sin separates. That's what it does. That's what it's good at. Sin separates us. Even when we've stepped into a relationship with the Son, sin will separate us so that we don't have that sense of closeness in that relationship. There's a strain, there's a discord. You've experienced it with your friends, maybe in marriage. That same kind of distance and separation happens when we're not walking in the light, when our lives aren't being influenced and transformed by the light of Christ. But instead, he says, when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to restore us back into that fellowship that we once experienced with him. Like, that's what it looks like to live in Jesus' light, to live in the light of who he is, to live in the light of God's word, to have our lives changed and transformed from the inside out. And we're to do this in the context of gospel community. I mean, again, Chapter 12, verse 36, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons and daughters of the light." The picture is of a family. It's a community. Sons and daughters of the light. We're to live in community with one another in this new kingdom family as we walk together as sons and daughters of the light. So what steps are you taking to care for the family of God? What steps are you taking to nurture others, to care for them? I mean, that's what it's going to look like to live this out in gospel community, caring for one another, shepherding one another, investing in the lives of others. What steps are you taking to do that kind of work, to live as a family? It made me think of Jesus' words here in verse 14. Jesus said, "Even if I bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." How often is it true for us that we judge one another according to the flesh? That is, we assess one another in the same way that everybody else does. And so we determine who we're going to spend time with. We determine who our friends are going to be based upon very thin, surface-level judgments. They live in the right neighborhood. They have a cute house. They wear the right kinds of clothes. They have a certain kind of job. They drive certain kinds of cars. They've gone to certain kinds of schools. Like, how often do we make those kinds of thin judgments about who we're going to spend time with? And instead, Jesus is telling us to live as his people, to be a part of his family. We're going to do life differently. To walk in the light is to invest in and to nurture those within the family of God, those who look like us, those who look different from us. That's what it means. That's what it looks like to walk in the light as his people. We're not to try to do this on our own. We're never intended to, never created to. I know the lies that go through your head. You think you don't need people. I know that's true because those are the lies that go through my head. I think I can figure this thing out pretty well on my own. And yet God wants us to trust him. And he tells us that we've been created to be his people, to live together as his community, that we might live on his mission, that as we live this kind of life together, that we would influence and impact the world around us. You see, this passage should remind us that Jesus is the great missionary God. He says, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. That theme runs all throughout the Gospel of John, and it's a reminder to us that Jesus was sent as a great missionary from the Father. He came on a rescue mission to deliver us from the domain of darkness that we might live in his light. And now he's sending his people, if you've trusted Christ, that's you and me, on his mission to live as his missionaries. Like, how will you live as a missionary this week? As you take part in living as the people of God, how will you take a step to live as his missionary this week, today, tomorrow? I think there are a couple of simple places we can start. Like, who are you praying for? If you know Jesus, if you've experienced a life-changing encounter with him, then who are you praying for to also experience that kind of life-changing encounter? Who are you praying would come into the light of Christ, that they would be able to make sense of their lives and make sense of their world? This week, who are you going to be praying for? Who is God prompting in your mind right now, in this moment? Who will you be praying for? I think the other thing that we can do is we can think about those people and how we might invest in their lives. How could we invest in their lives that they might have an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel and respond to it? Who are you praying for? Who are you investing in? Who are you going to invest in this week? Inviting them into moments and opportunities where they could hear the message of the gospel, this message that's the power of God to save. Like, who is it that you're going to invest and invite? Who are you praying for? As we come to the Lord's table, it should be a reminder that Jesus is indeed the great missionary God, that he stepped off of that kingly throne into our world because he was on a mission, and that he has invited us as we step into his light to live on mission with him as his family, like a family that has purpose, that has direction, that cares about the world outside there, their own home. Like, as we live as that kind of missionary family, coming to the Lord's table should be a great celebration because we are following the one who went before us. That he went before us as that great missionary, living the life that we were supposed to live but cannot because of sin. Dying a death in our place that we deserve, but if we place faith and trust in him, we don't have to experience. And then living in newness of life because of his resurrection from the dead. where he conquers Satan, sin, and death. That is the celebration that we take part in when we come to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have chosen in your great grace and kindness to speak to us at all is beyond our comprehension. We know at the heart of our heart, we are nothing but cosmic traitors. Now we have chosen to go away from you, apart from you, to try to do things our own way. But Lord, in your great grace and kindness, you sent your one and only Son, Jesus. He came as the light of the world, that we could find light and life in him, that we could come to understand ourselves, not only our understanding ourselves in light of who you are, but understanding the great purposes for which you've created us. And then God, you've worked in such a way that you have called us to follow Jesus on his great and grand mission. And so use us in whatever way you see fit. Lord, would you meet us right where we're at? Would you do for us what we can't do for ourselves? And we pray this by Jesus' name. Amen.